This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, if you want to weigh in on the big stories, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. So there's really no polite way to say this, but it turns out that Congress, the U.S. Capitol building, is nothing more than a taxpayer-funded whorehouse. And it's a difficult way to start out the day because nobody wants to be talking about, whorehouses on the radio. But we've got to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a big deal. So yesterday we got word that Eric Swalwell has announced he is stepping down from Congress. He's going to resign. He's saying that he's deeply sorry for fornicating all over the place, saying that he's made mistakes in judgment in his past. He also said that many of the allegations against him are false. However, he said he will take responsibility and ownership for the mistakes that he did make, perhaps like betting an underage girl, allegedly. The congressman, and by the way, everybody said this was the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C., that going all the way back to 2017, they knew Swalwell was a bad dude, and it terrified Kevin McCarthy because he said that it posed a significant security risk up on Capitol Hill. Take a listen to Cut 10, please.
The allegations against Eric Swalwell, which have not been independently confirmed by ABC, he's denied them all. But serious sexual misconduct allegations, and now you have an army of Democrats abandoning his campaign for governor. He was the leading candidate, Democratic candidate for governor, and now he's facing calls to drop out from people like Nancy Pelosi.
Listen, let me be very clear. I tried to get rid of Swalwell 6-8 years ago. When I got the briefing, when I became leader with the FBI,
yeah,
Nancy Pelosi was in the room. I turned to her and said, how can you keep her on intel? Intel is a select committee that only the leaders put on that you know all the secrets that the members do not.
But
I made a motion.
Was this about sexual misconduct allegations or?
It was a combination with the Chinese spy and led to all that. Every member in Congress knows not to let any young staffer get around Swalwell or Matt Gaetz. It's not a secret there. There's a reason why you didn't want those two people around. He was the leading candidate for governor. He probably could have won the primary and gotten there. But this all came forward. And these young women deserve justice.
Yeah, I completely agree with Kevin McCarthy. I think, and again, here is the issue. They've known about this, but nobody did anything about it. Why are we just now addressing this fact? Of course, Matt Gaetz no longer in Congress, but we've all heard those tawdry allegations. And it just seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't care who you are, if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, but if you're having your way with the underage staffers and the interns, then you need to go. Preferably to jail, but you gotta go. You have disqualified yourself from serving in Congress. But this has been going on for a long, long time, folks. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi, she said that she had no idea this was going on. Take a listen. Cut 5.
some Republicans and others are saying that Democrats turned kind of a blind eye, that they knew what he was up to or what the allegations
were. That is absolutely positive. And it's true that they may say that, but it is absolutely not
true. You had no idea.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. I had none whatsoever.
What happens in California now? He was, in many of the polls, the leading candidate.
Yes, he was.
That's gone. There's an army of candidates out there. And California has this quirky law, because it's ranked primaries, right, where you could end up with two Republicans on the ballot.
Well, it is.
How does that?
I agree that it is a quirky law. I do not agree that there'll be two Republicans at the top.
So in her defense, Nancy Pelosi, well, she could have been drunk. I mean, she may genuinely have just been out of her mind, just knocked down drunk, and she may not have known. But Nancy Pelosi out there, well, we already did know anything. Make it a double. All right. Thank you there, Pelosi. So what is this really all about? First of all, this has nothing to do with morality at all. We're dealing with politicians. This has everything to do with the Democrats trying to save the California governor's office from a Republican takeover. That's what this is really all about. So we've been following this race in California pretty closely. And what I find fascinating about this, they do a jungle primary, which means that everybody's into the pool, and the top two people on election day advance to the general. So it doesn't matter if there are two Democrats. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat and a Republican, or it could be, even in California, that you could have two Republicans. Now, leave it to the GOP not to play smart politics here, and we're going to break this down because I want to explain what's really going on here with Eric Swalwell. It has nothing to do with the fact that he was betting all of the girls. And by the way, there may be some fellers in the mix, allegedly. But anyway, that has nothing to do with it right now. This has everything to do with saving the Democrats in California. And the latest polling data had Steve Hilton, the Republican, with a very comfortable lead in the polls. Number two was Eric Swalwell, and number three was Chad Bianco, who is the other Republican running. And, of course, Donald Trump came out and said, all right, I'm going to endorse somebody. I think that was a bad move because it gives Hilton more momentum and it takes away from Bianco, who will then slide in the polls. So strategically, it would have been better to wait until the actual primary, after the primary, to endorse somebody because it could hurt voter turnout for Bianco now that Trump has thrown in with Steve Hilton. But again, when you look at the other players here, they're all Democrats, and they've got a huge number of Democrats that are in this race. I want to go through the numbers here. 18% for Hilton, Swalwell, 14%, Bianco, who's the sheriff in Riverside County, and is tied with Tom Steyer, who's at 12%. And Steyer is this multi-bazillionaire billionaire who is funding his own campaign. So the question now is, will the Democrat Party, will they embrace Tom Steyer, who is a horrible candidate? And he's whiter than white, but he's trying to be black. And it's not working out for him. So anyway, now that Swalwell is out of the race, they've got to figure this out because the other choice is Porter, who's got her own domestic issues, so to say. So we'll see how all this plays out. But this has nothing to do with the right thing. It has everything to do with saving the Democrats in California. That's why they're freaking out right now. But that brings me back to what's been going on up on Capitol Hill. And there have been efforts to unleash this information. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it ought to happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen. You say, Tom, what are you talking about? Well, there have been at least 268 workplace disputes in Congress, and many of them involve sexual assault and harassment. More than $17 million in settlements have been paid out. This is a super secret hush fund account. by the way, that is funded by your tax dollars, which is why you do have a vested interest in this. So it just seems to me that in light of what's happening with Swalwell, with Gonzalez, Tony Gonzalez out of Texas on the Republican side, this is an everybody political party issue. Republicans, Democrats, just seems to me we need to know who these people are. They're using our tax money. They're chasing around your sons and daughters that you sent to Capitol Hill to serve as pages, and you deserve to know. And look, if you're a grown consenting adult, what do I care? All right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about grown men and possibly women who've been taking advantage of young kids that are interns or working on staff positions up on Capitol Hill. And those are the people that we need to be protecting here. So I'm just going to tell you, I believe that we need to get these people to come clean. Let's go ahead and expose the predators and the perverts roaming the halls of Congress. And I say that because the Republicans had an opportunity, but the Republicans did not. They chose not to release this information. Why is that? Well, because there are a lot of perverts and predators on the Republican side of the aisle, too. It's unbelievable. What was it? Back to the Democrats for a second. Was it last year, or year before last, when Joe Biden was in office, and you had the staffers, and they were Democrats, the Democrat staffers, and they filmed themselves butt naked in one of the hearing rooms doing it doggy style. What's going on here? Again, ladies and gentlemen, they have turned Congress into a whorehouse. And that's not right. So I say, let's release all of the information. More than $17 million of your tax money was paid out to victims. We need to know who these predators are. And after we do that, we need to, take up a collection, hire a hazmat team, and hose down Capitol Hill. Especially that Senate hearing room where they did it doggy style. Jeez aloo, America. Go to church. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody. Todd Stearns here. And I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already. And at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Stearns. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Stearns, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Stearns or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Stearns. Coming up, our good friend Congressman Brandon Gill. You're not going to believe this one. The Muslims are now taking over the Alamo. So, well, I don't know. Dylan, I don't know. We may have to send down some more Tennesseans. You know, we pulled their fat out of the fire once. We're happy to do it again. That's what we do here in Tennessee. Anyway, Congressman Gill's going to be joining us. Also, Josh Jones is on the way. And our good friend, Dr. Susan Michael, who is president of the International Christian Embassy, and in Jerusalem, we're going to have a great conversation coming up a little bit later. I do want to go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Gary, Daytona Beach, Florida. Gary, what's on your mind?
Just 2 quick comments. Number one, 4 or 5 years ago, everybody was, including people like Laura Ingraham, said when they found out about the slush fund in Congress and the Senate, to have people sign off when there was misbehavior of any type, they were going to make those public. And it would be, and I remember distinctively hearing Laura Ingraham say, I'm going to get that list from both the Senate and Congress, and whether you're Republican, Independent, or Democrat, we're going to find out what non-disclosure agreements and how much money, and we're going to make this public. And it'll be interesting to see if that ever comes to fruition, but I doubt it because it's almost like talking about term limits. That seems to disappear. And my only other comment that I'm hoping later you get into on your show was Pope Leo is a little bit of a weasel here because I did an hour search on he's made his comments about Trump and the administration. I looked and seen he never made one comment when the in Iran when they were killing the protesters, shooting them in prisons or hospitals. Never one comment about the atrocities, but yet he wants to battle with President Trump.
Well, no doubt about that. And Gary, you know, we touched briefly on that yesterday on the show, that this Pope, and I call him Leo, the Pope Leo the Woke, because he is. And when you look at going all the way back to 2025, he has been criticizing President Trump and the administration's policies, but at the same time turning a blind eye, for example, to the Islamists that are slaughtering Christians in Nigeria and across Africa. He's turned a blind eye to what you pointed out here. I mean, we've had reports of 30 to 40,000 Iranian protesters slaughtered by the regime. Not a single word coming out of the Vatican. So I think you're absolutely right that we ought to be talking about that. And look, I mean, this goes all the way back to when did Leo, there was Francis died. And this all happened right about the time Trump took office, but before that. So I can comfortably say two popes, and Gary, thank you for the call, two popes turned a blind eye to the Biden administration. Joe Biden was out there, and he was declaring war on his own faith. You know, Joe Biden claims to be a Roman Catholic. I mean, that's what he says. And yet he is pro-abortion, and he is pro-medical mutilation. Joe Biden actually allowed the FBI to infiltrate the Catholic Church in Richmond, Virginia. And then they discovered it wasn't just Richmond. There were many other Catholic dioceses where they tried to recruit priests to spy on parishioners who wanted to attend a Latin Mass. I kid you not. It was the Biden administration that actually did the guns-drawn raids on the homes of pro-lifers. By the way, new information coming out today from the Justice Department going into great detail about how the Biden administration intentionally targeted Catholic pro-lifers. Not a word from the Vatican about that. Not a word. And by the way, a couple of weeks ago, a group of nuns had to file a lawsuit in New York State. The nuns, for years, have run this little, I mean, it's basically a hospice unit where people who don't have a lot of money can go and they can spend their final days on earth being cared for by the Catholic nuns. Well, the nuns have policies, and one of those policies is, you know, you can't have women in your room, you can't have men in other, you know, the women's rooms, things of that nature. Well, under New York State law, the nuns will be forced to accept transgender people. And the nuns are having to file a lawsuit. Well, where is the Vatican on that story? So, again, I stand, and I'm catching holy you-know-what from people. Todd Starnes, he hates the Pope. Todd Starnes, he's anti-Catholic. No, Todd Starnes is not anti-Catholic. I don't hate the Pope. I'm a Southern Baptist, by the way, so I've got no skin in that game. But right now, they're accusing me of calling the Pope unchristian, which is not true. I did not call the Pope non-Christian. I did say that the Pope was behaving in a non-Christian way. Really saddens me. I don't mind people attacking me. They do that every day. I don't mind. I ask a couple of things. Make sure you spell my name right, and make sure you get my quotes right. And if you can't do that, then shame on you. And we're going to call you out on this program, and that's exactly what we're going to do when we come back from the break. But these people, I'm all over Reddit now. Newsmax host Todd Starnes, the unchristian Pope. these people, what would Jesus do? I think Jesus would call them sorry so-and-sos. But that may be a too literal translation of Scripture. But I am ready to start tossing some folks out of the temple. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. A lot of news happening up on Capitol Hill today. Of course, another big story we've been following, in addition to Eric Swalwell and all of that nonsense, is the amnesty plan that's being advanced by, at least the last count I've heard, 19 Republican lawmakers joining efforts there. One of the individuals who is staunchly opposed to amnesty is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, Congressman Brandon Gill from Texas. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me on.
You know, Congressman, it's just beyond me that the Republicans are even attempting to do something like this. Of course, Congresswoman Salazar from Florida advancing what, quite frankly, a lot of people say looks and smells just like an amnesty bill. What say you?
Well, that's because it is an amnesty bill. In fact, this isn't just an amnesty bill. It's far worse. This is a mass migration bill. Remember, this is a bill, the Dignidad Act. It's written in a foreign language because it benefits foreigners and at the expense of American citizens. But the day it's enacted, 12 million or so illegal aliens who are in the country right now and subject to deportation will be given legal status. Boom, amnesty. On top of that, what it will do is allow the Department of Homeland Security under Democrat administrations to bring back into the United States illegal aliens who have already been deported during the first Trump administration. That is just added insult. On top of that, it will hamstring the Trump administration's ability to deport all the other illegal aliens who are in this country right now, because they basically, an illegal alien can claim that they've been in the United States for 5 years or longer. They don't have documents. That's why they're called, why the left likes to call them undocumented immigrants. And there's no way to prove otherwise. That's a problem. This is a bill that is a Democrat bill. It shouldn't be anywhere near Republican circles. And yet, unfortunately, here we are.
It just makes absolutely no sense. And especially as we're moving towards the midterms, and this is a winning issue for the Republicans. I mean, when you look at all of the polling data out there, Congressman, it doesn't matter, Democrat, Independent, and Republican, a majority of the voters want to see the illegals deported. So again, I don't understand why we're just blowing all of that up here.
Oh, it's totally beyond me. But let me tell you, this would be the single biggest betrayal Republicans could possibly conceive of. Last election cycle, we were elected on a platform of mass deportations. There was nothing nuanced or subtle about it. It was, if you're an illegal alien, we want you out of our country. That's the mandate voters gave us. So to turn around when voters ask for mass deportations and give them amnesty would be such a grotesque betrayal. It would make the GOP unelectable, and candidly, rightfully so. We would be dealing with this, the political fallout of this, for a decade from now. It would be such a massive betrayal. It would rip our party apart. So I don't see how anybody who wants to see the Republican Party thrive as I do, see the conservative movement thrive, who could possibly support this.
No, I'm with you, Congressman. And again, it's a common sense thing here. And we've got to make sure that all of the Republicans are on board. But I think it also illustrates a great example of what the Trump administration has been dealing with, where in many cases they're having to fight members of their own party to get the president's agenda through Congress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that we still have anybody in Congress on the Republican side who support amnesty after the last election cycle, after what Joe Biden did to our country, is crazy. You know, we've talked about it for a long time, but Democrats have been massive supporters of open borders, of no borders whatsoever, because it is to their political gain. They believe that flooding the country with illegal aliens, and it does, impacts congressional apportionment. It gives blue states more representation at the expense of red states. And while these illegal aliens are in here, by the way, they're probably voting in elections across the country because you have multiple states who don't have voter ID laws. So this is all part of a massive political plan to seize power and hold power from the Democrat side. So for Republicans to play into that in any way by supporting amnesty is suicidal, not to mention the fact that this is everything that our voters fought against. You know, illegal immigration, mass migration has completely transformed the United States. This is not the same country that my grandparents grew up in. This is a country whose social fabric has been torn apart, and it's our job to fix it.
Congressman, I want to switch gears. The situation involving not only Eric Swalwell, but there are some Republicans in the mix as well. The allegations of wrongdoing, it's just unacceptable, and especially involving young people. There are a lot of moms and dads who send their sons and daughters to serve as high school pages in the halls of Congress. Mm-hmm. Many of the staff of lawmakers are in their, you know, early to mid-20s here. And the idea that you've got predators walking the halls of Congress, that is just simply unacceptable. Your reaction to the news that's come out over the past few days?
Yeah, of course it is. And, you know, what I find most sort of insulting and degrading is you have liberal journalists all over Washington, D.C., who will say things like, well, you know, we've known about these rumors or allegations about Eric Swalwell for a long time. It's been an open secret in Washington. I've never heard any of these open secrets, by the way, but apparently a lot of these left-wing journalists have. And it begs the question, if you knew about this, why didn't you say anything?
That's right.
If you heard about allegations that a member of Congress was sexually molesting his staff members, including potentially some underaged ones, why were you not doing anything about it? But that's kind of the cesspool that is Washington, D.C. I mean, these people need to go. They should have been kicked out of Congress a lot sooner. We've got our own house to clean up here, and we still have a lot of work to do. But this stuff is so over the top and so disgusting, and the American people are sick of it.
Congressman Brandon Gill joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, to that point, I've been calling openly for the release of this slush fund. What several hundred cases have been settled to the tune of, I think, about $17 million that we know of. Why is it that the Republicans will not release that information? They had an opportunity and they took a pass on it. Why do you think that is?
You know, that's a good question. Everybody that I have talked to about this slush fund has been in fully supportive of releasing all of this information. I think that, by the way, the slush fund does not exist anymore, but right. I think the American people have a right to know who was utilizing this. I mean, the idea that you would even have a fund that is dedicated to defending members of Congress who are sexually molesting their staff members is really stomach churning. I mean, it's really sickening. And the American people do have a right to know who was representing them and behaving in these kinds of just egregiously depraved ways.
Congressman, before we let you go, I heard the craziest story, and I'm from Tennessee originally, so we have a vested interest in what happens down at the Alamo. They're telling us this cannot be true. That it's a part of Islamic history now. What's going on there?
Right. CARE, the Center for American Islamic Relations, and other radical Islamic groups have been lobbying the Texas legislature and the Texas State Board of Education to include all kinds of pro-Islamic revisionist history into Texas's educational standards. And one of those included this absolutely nonsensical claim that the Alamo is an example of Islamic architecture. I mean, this is the perfect example, by the way, of Islamic cultural imperialism. It's coming to our country, which is not Islamic, does not have Islam as part of its history, where Islam is largely alien to American culture, and coming in here and trying to claim and appropriate our history. So I sent a letter along with several of my colleagues here in Washington, the State Board of Education, encouraging them to reject this kind of revisionist nonsense and pro-Islamic idiocy, which so far they have done. They've done a great job in standing up against these cultural imperialistic Islamists.
Wow, it's just insane. Congressman, look, we always appreciate you hopping on the show, and we really appreciate the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Congressman Brandon Gill, everybody, one of the good guys up in Congress in the House of Representatives. Yeah, this is absolutely bonkers crazy, but the Muslims actually want you to think and believe that the Alamo is really a story about Islam. All right, we've got to take a break here. Opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Dylan, this marks a big moment in the Todd Starnes Show radio history. We have Ian the intern with us.
We do. Not only do we have him on the camera.
On camera. Not too bad. Yeah, welcome, Ian.
Thank you. It feels great to be here.
So there's a reason why we have Ian here, Dylan. This is huge news. You know, a lot of famous people come through Memphis, Tennessee, right? I mean, you've got Elvis, Jerry the King Lawler.
A lot of people that make music. Bruno Mars made his album in Memphis.
Oh, Bruno Mars.
Famous
people. Justin Timberlake brought Sexy back. Yeah, right
he
here.
Did indeed. Yeah.
Who's the Kathy Bates, the great actress?
Yes. Morgan Freeman. He's technically from Mississippi, but
we can claim him. We'll claim him.
Yeah.
And the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
The most important of them all.
Yeah, I think this really tops them all.
This is huge. So we got an invitation yesterday, and the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile is coming to Memphis, and guys, it's happening in our show. So Dylan, we had an emergency staff meeting after the show yesterday, and we decided we have got to send Ian the intern to broadcast live from the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Yes, we do. It only makes sense that Ian goes.
Ian, are you up for this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was contemplating skipping working on the show to go there if you wanted to vote me on there. Yeah, I'm very excited.
So you probably shouldn't have said that, but
well,
probably not. It's work.
It's work. That's right.
He's going to go anyway.
So this is, I have to imagine, you must relish the opportunity to go and check out the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
I mustard go. I'm extremely excited for this.
He's ready.
I'm ready to go.
We've got the puns. Mm-hmm. We've got the puns.
You
got
to catch up with all those people over there.
Oh, absolutely.
God, stop. That's terrible. So are they going to let you drive the thing?
I hope so. It would be a bad idea on their part, but I would love it. I think they're going to let me go inside. I think they're going to let me have a full tour of the wiener. So
I hear it's much larger. I mean, in person, you know, you see it and you don't realize how big that wiener is until you're like right there. And
scale is a lot different.
It's true. It's true. So this is like a Winnebago style. I mean, you can fit a number of people inside the wiener.
Oh, yeah. I think it's got like 6 to 8 seats inside.
Wow. That's huge.
27 feet long.
You know, this is like one of those bucket list things, Ian.
It is. Yeah. I've actually always wanted to go see the Wiener Mobile. Strange story.
I'm getting misty.
Crossing it off.
We're helping him accomplish, you know.
My lifelong dream.
This is starting to sound like a make-a-wish.
You know, a lot of people around America want to ride a wiener.
Yeah.
They cannot do it.
It's true.
Unless you come to Memphis, Tennessee.
Very true.
Oh, God. I can't do this. We just got put on so many church prayer lists.
They had to know that the jokes were going to be there, right? I mean, they have a whole vehicle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's inevitable.
Exactly. And I know Ben Dieter back in the day. We were literally finishing a road race and had to stop by Kroger, and there was the Wienermobile.
He was ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
We all were. It's one of those things that you have to go see when it comes to your town. And, yeah, I'm very excited for Ian because this is his, like, initiation to the company.
Right? You might, you might want to bring a jacket. It might get chilly in the Wienermobile. See what
we all have one.
It's a little cheesy. Yeah.
I can't wait to meet all the staff there. I'm very excited.
This is going to be cool. I just want to know, who is it? I mean, what qualifications do you have to drive the Wienermobile?
That's got to be very special. It's like a... It's like being forklift like certified. Yeah. It's one of those.
Get Eric Swalwell on the line.
Oh no!
Sorry, what now?
He's not certified.
No, that's he's not certified. He's certifiable, but he's not certified. Jeez, Alou. Whoever came up with that idea? What a brilliant marketing
genius! Absolutely.
Maybe it was Oscar Mayer.
Oscar himself.
That's true. You know, I wonder if they're going to give you any swag.
I hope so. And I would wear it with pride if they give me, like, an Oscar Mayer hat.
Well said.
Maybe the prize is the drive. Maybe it's like they give you a chance to drive the wiener down the road.
So, you don't want to take a wrong turn in the Wienermobile, though.
You really don't.
Yeah. That, wide turns.
Yeah. And never back up. You don't want to be. I just can't. I can't.
You think it has like one of those beepers when it backs up? What does it
probably
do?
Does.
That would be like a little flashing light.
Yeah. We're too old to be joking about Wiener.
This is ridiculous. Fine. But I will say it really is a cool thing to see up close and personal. So we're gonna bring this to you live. This is what's happening, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday.
All right. Do you need any special like insurance or you just show up?
I think I just show up. They sent us a very corny email with a bunch of hot dog-related jokes, which I thought it was very funny. But it seems like we just show up, and they'll let us tour it.
I know Helen Dillon were coming up with like a whole list of puns.
We were. It's all to prepare Ian to interview the workers. And we may embarrass them on the air, but it is what it is. You kind of have to do it.
So years ago, back when this show was broadcast from Fox headquarters, we had an intern, and we sent him out. The French's mustard people, they had a mustard truck in New York City, and they were giving away free mustard ice cream.
Ew.
And we made our intern actually eat the mustard ice cream on the air. So we're not going to make you do that.
Thank goodness.
That is hazing right there.
I do wonder. Oh, it was. And here's the thing. It tasted like mustard.
I'm sure. I would hope so.
That's the only thing you could taste. Frozen mustard. It was disgusting.
I would I would probably enjoy a ketchup truck if they had one out there. I enjoy the ketchup chips that are available.
You could take a dip. Yeah.
But a hot dog. I'm thinking of like hot dog chips or like hot dog things. I can't really.
Well, some people like to do that. I like to dip their wiener in ketchup.
They do. It's a good condiment.
It's it's important.
Yeah.
If you're going to the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, you must have condiments.
Yeah.
That's necessary.
You can't just eat a dry bun on a hot dog.
No, that's Oh, we haven't even talked about the buns.
Yeah, the buns.
I mean, that's a whole different. We'll save that for Thursday.
All right.
All right, Ian, good luck to you. Ian is that's his first adventure. We're sending him on assignment to cover the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Lots of fun, ladies and gentlemen. All right, coming up, prayer time on the Tom Stern Show. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Say goodbye to the crowd there, Ian.
All right, everyone. I'll see you Thursday.
All right, good stuff. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour two of our extravaganza well underway. Trust you're doing well today. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at Newsmax TV. You can watch the Todd Starnes Show, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. By the way, Newsmax wants to make sure if you are getting ready to get Social Security benefits or if you are already getting Social Security benefits, that you're getting all the benefits you deserve. About 70% of you are not. And that's why we want to share with you a free special report. Newsmax says it is your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. All you have to do is call Newsmax 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690, and we'll text all the information to you right away. Again, that's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. Now, before we jump in to our next story, we have someone on the phone lines who wants to weigh in on a bit of excitement that we shared with you in the last hour of the show. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is coming to Memphis, Tennessee, and we're very excited about that. Dylan, it's coming. It's going to be in the super low parking lot, just maybe less than a mile from our broadcast bunker.
It's a good store to pick if you're going to be in front of one.
Yes. So you can't miss it. It's basically a giant wiener tucked in a bun.
And it's colorized, too. It's got the color of the bun and the wiener.
Looks just like, not like a Red Hot, right? Those are different.
Yeah,
this is your more of a pale Pepto-Bismol pink wiener. If you will.
Pepto-Bismol wiener is terrible.
That's a bad description. My apologies. Let's go to Steve in Greensboro, North Carolina, listening to us on WSJS, our great affiliate there. Steve, I understand you have a suggestion.
Yes, Dad. Thank you for taking my call. I think that in the spirit of inclusiveness, that Ian, if you're given the opportunity to drive the Wienermobile, should take a turn through the local mosque. Maybe he could even stop and ask the imam if he has some Grey Poupon.
So let me get this straight. You're suggesting that Ian, if he is afforded the opportunity, drive to a mosque, roll down the window of the Wienermobile, and ask the imam if they've got any Grey Poupon.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, only if it's an all beef wiener. I think that's the problem. I mean, if it's a pork, if it's a chicken and pork wiener, well, you know, there could be some halal issues. Oh, geez, Alou.
Absolutely.
Oh boy. All right, Ian, or rather, Steve. Thank you for that great. We're going to pass that along. That great advice. We're going to pass that along to Ian, and we'll see if they'll let us. If they'll let us take a turn or two in the Wienermobile. You know what would be fun, though, Dylan, in Memphis, where the speed limit on the interstate is 120 miles an hour, is to see how fast that wiener can go.
Pedal to the metal on that thing. It's probably set at a certain limit, right?
It's got to be.
It is huge. It's like a semi-truck almost.
It is a – you don't realize how big it is until you're like right up in – you know, you're like, sweet mercy.
Yeah.
This is a large vehicle.
Now I'm trying to think, does Ian even have his license? Like, can we even get him on this thing?
He does have a license. He drives.
He's a young guy.
Yeah.
He does drive. Now that I think about it, he is at work.
But it's like to rent a car, you've got to be, what, 24, 25 years old. So that could be problematic.
Could be problems here.
Yeah. Maybe some insurance.
You might have to steal the thing. We're not promoting it.
No. But again, I'm not sure you want to take that out on the. I mean, do they actually put it out there on the roadway? Is it a free range wiener?
Oh, yeah.
Is that.
Yeah. They have to get it here somehow. I mean.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't ever seen one of them out like in the wild.
How many miles is on the Wienermobile?
How many miles is on this bit that we're doing? That's what I wanted. I think we're, yeah. All that to say, I mean, get that thing up to 120 miles an hour on I-240. You don't want to be in a fender bender with a wiener. I'm just telling you. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Speaking of wieners, can we talk about Zohran Mamdani and his grocery stores, which is where you buy wieners? So this was a big part of his campaign, was to create these government-run grocery stores, because apparently the regular, the private ownership grocery stores were not meeting needs. And one of the big problems is they have what they call the food deserts. And one of the reasons why there are food deserts is because they've had grocery stores that have tried to set up business in those communities, and yet the stealing, the shoplifting, the danger, it was just too much. And so we've seen this a lot in the Memphis area, where well-meaning organizations like Kroger, for example, will go into a desolate part of the community and they'll put in a grocery store. And the next thing you know, they're robbed blind. And I know the activists, you know, scream racism and everything, but the reality is they've got to be able to pay their bills. And you can't do that if people are stealing kumquats. You just can't do that. So anyway, Mamdani has just announced the first grocery store run by the government. Now, Dylan, on average, if you're going to build a state-of-the-art palatial grocery store in New York City, it's going to cost you about $15 million to build. I mean, that is like state-of-the-art, standard size, 25,000 square foot grocery store. All right, so that's a lot of money, but that's still, I mean, you're talking about New York City, so that's still a pretty good deal. Guess how much the first grocery store run by the government's going to cost to build? $15 million. No, sir, not 15, not even $20 million, $30 million. That's how much it's going to cost to build the first taxpayer-funded grocery store in New York City. I don't see this ending well for the good people of the Big Apple. I really don't. As a matter of fact, there was a story. Fox News has a story about the grocery store initiative and how it's going so far. Take a listen.
This first store is going to cost $30 million. That's nearly half of the $70 million budget that Mayor Mamdani has proposed for all five city-run grocery stores. He announced this first one last night at his 101st day celebration. The store is going to be located in East Harlem in La Marqueta, and the plan is for it to be open next year.
We are building a brand new store on city-owned land currently sitting empty in East Harlem. A neighborhood where nearly 40% of households received public assistance or SNAP in the past year.
Because it's on city-owned land, they will not have to pay rent on the property. Mamdani pointed out that grocery prices in the city have increased since the pandemic, but he failed to point out how city-run grocers in other cities have failed to actually help residents. Similar efforts in places like Kansas City have struggled to stay afloat despite millions in taxpayer dollars. Sun Fresh Market permanently closed this August after suffering from high crime, empty shelves, and unsustainable losses. So despite over $17 million in taxpayer investments since 2016, the project failed to provide a stable food source. But it's full steam ahead for city-owned grocery stores here in the Big Apple. Mamdani promised on the campaign trail the grocery stores will be available in each borough. He says that will be accomplished by the end of his term.
All right, so a couple of things here. First of all, the entire budget's right around $70 million for five grocery stores, but they've already used up half of it for just one grocery store. And then it turns out there are actually grocery stores privately owned in the neighborhood, and they're freaking out because they're afraid they may have to shut down because they won't be able to compete with the government, and the government store is going to be selling things much cheaper. So this is not the first time they've tried to do something like this in America. They tried to do it in the Soviet Union, and pretty much the entire country starved to death. But in Kansas City, they recently opened up a government-run grocery store where right now, if you walk in, it smells of rotten produce and empty shelves. And by the way, whatever's left, they're walking out with. They're stealing. Take a listen.
It's clear this Sunfresh at 31st and Prospect is struggling. This is the first section people see when they come in. There's barely any produce. A lot of the coolers and shelves around the store look the same way, empty. So shoppers have been asking us, if the store isn't closing, then where is all the food? A rotten smell comes through the door, and anywhere you turn, you'll see products that need to be restocked. No hot food or deli.
Now, I watch people walk in and walk out.
The grocery store has received financial assistance from the city, but has been unable to keep those shelves stocked in an area that in the past has often been referred to as a food desert.
Around here, a good thing don't last too long.
And it will impact a lot of people and a lot of families.
The city owns the Linwood Shopping Center. A nonprofit operates the grocery store.
By the way, they tried to open up a government-run grocery store in Chicago, and that effort has now failed. So there you go. Again, $70 million in capital funding, and they've already used up half of it, over half of it, just to build one grocery store. I mean, this is a great example of you get what you vote for, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, they're now saying the cost to operate the stores annually could exceed $100 million a year because of union labor rates. So I'm hoping everybody is paying attention to what's going on in New York City, because this is shaping up to be an epic disaster. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. CBS News reporting that Catholics are getting ready to abandon Donald Trump. Is that true? Has Donald Trump lost your support over the meme he shared just the other day? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Dylan, what were you doing when you were 14 years old?
I was probably a sophomore in high school, just trying to learn my math.
Mm-hmm. Probably. So, and that's pretty much, did you play ball?
I played baseball and I was in the band.
Okay, all right. Dean Roy is 14 years old. He's a freshman. He goes to school in Vermont, high school kid, and he likes politics. So it turns out that in Vermont, there's no age limit to be governor. So if you want to run for office, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can run for office. So this kid decided to create a political party, and he ended up running for governor, and he actually made the cut. So he is going to be, this 14-year-old is going to be on the ballot in Vermont.
He really likes politics.
He loves it. Anyway, Dean Roy is his name. And we wanted him on the radio show, but he's in class. And so we caught him up. We caught up with him on Newsmax after school. He also has a part-time job at a pizza joint. Here's our conversation with Dean. I'm just curious, what's the scuttlebutt around school, knowing that you very well could be the next, governor of the state?
I mean, I think most people at my school are very supportive of this. I think most people are kind of shocked, in a way, about everything that's going on with all of my campaign. But I think that they'd expect that I was going to be a political person, and they expect that I'm going to do something in the state of Vermont. So I think, in a way, maybe they might have expected it out of me. I think everyone's really been very, very supportive of me. They've all really enjoyed my videos and helped me out when I need it. But I think just in general, they might have been a bit shocked, but they're also still stayed by me, and I hope they stay keeping it up and keep supporting me.
I'm curious what inspired you to run for office.
What really inspired me was this program known as the PAGE program. That is a program in eighth grade when you essentially intern at the state capitol down in Montpelier. And that really got me to learn more about the political systems of Vermont, and that really got me to see a lot of the action that occurs in Vermont politics. I got to meet a lot of Vermont politicians. I got to see a lot of the systems in play. And that's really what inspired me. I saw it all in action. And then I decided, you know what? I can do this. I should do this. And from there, I've just been beginning campaigning and going ahead, trying to be Vermont's next governor.
All right. So you're running as a centrist. I'm curious, what does that mean to you? And what would you say is the top agenda item on your campaign?
Yes. Really, my centrism is about political independence, being away from the major conservative or liberal political camps and going my own route in politics. And really, my main issue that I'm focusing on is housing. In Vermont, we have about 500 people leaving our state each year, meaning we are a dying state. We're losing population. And that has very big, that results in very big issues for our state, from taxes to the cost of living. And really one way to fix that is to deregulate in our housing sector. We have this very general act known as Act 250, which I am against personally. I think that it goes too far with regulation. And another way to fix a lot of the housing issues in our state is to raise taxes on short-term rentals, which would hopefully encourage them to sell the house, freeing up space on the market, and it would come with the benefit of raising more money for the state of Vermont.
All right. I'm curious how the parents responded when you said, Mom, Dad, I want to run for president. And they're like, what, of the student council? Or, you know, no, I want to be governor. I want to be governor of the state of Vermont. How did they respond to that?
I think my parents know that I'm a political person. So I think that they might not have exactly been totally shocked, but it was obviously surprising. You don't expect to hear a 14-year-old running for governor. But my parents have been very, very supportive of me. Obviously, they've been the ones driving me to all the campaign events, but they've also been helping me out with other things. They'll help with encouraging me to maybe double-check spelling on a script. They'll help me with recording certain things or setting up certain interviews. So I think they might have been shocked at first, and they might have been really surprised that I was doing this, but they've still been very, very supportive of me and probably the best really supporters that I've had.
All right, real quick here, Dean. I don't want to put you on the spot. Let's just say you seem like a great kid, but let's say maybe you get grounded and you're governor and you got to be, you know, at the state house that night for a big address. What do you do? Do you send in the state police? How do you handle that?
Luckily enough, there is a apartment that is in Montpelier that the governor stays at. So I think that would get behind that issue altogether.
All right, there you have it. Dean Roy running for governor in Vermont. He makes more sense than a lot of grown-ups do, to be honest with you, folks. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Oh, by the way, you know, we need to bring Josh Jones right away into the conversation. Josh Jones, our great Republican strategist from Washington, D.C. Josh, hope you're doing well.
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
You know, I'm good. By the way, have you done the big cherry blossoms? You know, I think that's like a big thing there in our nation's capital.
It is. It lasts for like 2 weeks and the whole like tidal basin area. So it's basically along the Potomac. It's super, super busy. So I went like the very last day of it because by then most tourists have came and saw it. But yeah, it's a whole day in DC for like 2 weeks.
Okay. So you guys have the Cherry Blossom Festival, Josh. Here in Memphis, we've got the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, which is coming to town and we're very excited about it. And Dylan, we're getting, like, people are offering Ian, the intern, suggestions here. Janice says, the kids on the Wienermobile are the happiest around. They know how to have a great gig for the year. Ian can get a whistle for a souvenir.
I forgot about the whistle. He does have to bring one back for us.
It's not shaped like a wiener, is it?
I don't think so. I think it's just a normal whistle. But
okay, yeah, you don't want to blow a wiener. No. That's a wiener whistle. That's weird. Let's see here. Also, Josh, just feel free to weigh in here if you want to opine on wieners. Someone said we took a picture of our wiener dog in front of the wiener mobile.
I can't say I've seen a photo or I. What is it? What is this car? Or is it a bus? Or
I'm sorry. Wait, what? You've never seen the Oscar Mayer wiener mobile?
I don't think so. No,
Josh. You went to.
I'll take it as a homework assignment.
You're a Liberty University grad. You're telling me the Wienermobile never like plowed right through the middle of campus?
Not that I remember. No.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
But here, I'll tell you what. That'll be my homework project, and I'll go do my research and report back.
Google Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and you'll be good to go. Wow, poor Josh. He had no idea what we were talking about. He thought these people are very strange. All right, geez, Lou. All right, Josh, let's talk politics, and there's a lot going on. Right now, there is chaos up on Capitol Hill. Eric Swalwell announced, Swalwell, my apologies. That is his nickname, by the way. According to Joe Messina, that is Eric Swalwell's nickname back in California. But Swalwell is out. Tony Gonzalez is out on the Republican side. You know, Josh, it just seems to me if you are going to be targeting and if you're a predator, you've got no business being anywhere near Capitol Hill.
Yeah, it's a pretty low bar. I mean, to put it lightly. I mean, some of these people, you know, Swalwell, Tony Gonzalez, I mean, like, and let's be clear, they're not the only ones. It's not as if I know, but like, if you know, if there's a few bad apples, there's probably some more. It's absolutely disgusting that these type of people are in Congress. So glad they're resigning. Glad they're getting out of Congress. And I don't know if you saw, or you know, maybe your viewers saw, TMZ actually launched a DC bureau this past week where they're going to start reporting more so on the drama side of politics. Which at first I was like, okay, I don't really know if this is needed, but on this kind of stuff and the reporting on this, absolutely.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that TMZ has put the fear of God in a lot of these lawmakers up there. And some of the stories we've been hearing are just horrifying. But again, it's not all that surprising. This has been going on for generations, going back to JFK, who used to secretly bring women into the Oval Office, or at least the White House, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, you got JFK, also you have the famous Bill Clinton story, and there's been plenty of other members of Congress who have had similar, I was going to say issues, but mental health problems, frankly. So I'm glad TMZ and, you know, other people obviously are holding the accountable. And look, that doesn't mean all you know, members of Congress are bad. There's just some bad apples up there that need to be, you know, get out of office.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Josh Jones joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Josh, there's a big story, I believe, in NBC and CBS doing stories about Trump possibly losing support among Catholic voters after what he said about the Pope. My take on it is this. The Pope started it, and if you're going to jump into politics, you know what? You got to bring your big boy pants. Got to put them on.
Yeah, I mean, jumping into the public arena, especially politically, you open yourself up to criticism, and that can come from a world leader or some random person on Twitter. So it comes with the territory. You know, does this affect the Catholic vote once we get to November? I don't think so. I mean, I'm not personally Catholic, so I'm not, you know, personally attesting, but I don't think it has a big effect. If I were Trump, though, in the administration, would I be picking a fight with the Vatican? Probably not, but, you know, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think, do we have that audio of Speaker Mike Johnson just a little while ago was asked about all of this. Let's take a listen to the speaker.
Speaker Johnson, can I ask you about the president's post himself as Jesus? Was it blasphemy?
I talked with the president about it as soon as I saw it and told him that I don't think it was being received in the same way he intended it. He agreed and he pulled it down. That was the right thing to do. He explained how he saw that, and I don't think he thought it was sacrilegious at all. So,
do you think he should back down?
I think he showed great respect to others by removing it.
All right, there you go. The speaker weighing in on the infamous meme. President Trump says no, he didn't. You know, he didn't think he was portraying Jesus. He felt like he was portraying a doctor. And you know, in defense of the president, you know, my doctor was wearing a robe and you know, a scarf the last time I saw him. So I don't know. Maybe that's.
Yeah, I think Speaker Johnson's right. Did Trump probably mean anything by it? Probably
no,
not. But should he have done it? Also no.
Yeah, that, I have proposed an 11th commandment, thou shalt not meme. So Josh, yeah. I think that's got to be the new rule. By the way, you're getting some comments here, Josh, on the live stream on our YouTube channel. DC-KT3CM says, I'm a Catholic and I don't feel that way about the president. The president has not lost my support, but the Catholic Church with their NGOs, the bishops and the cardinals, sure have. You know, that's a fair point. I mean, the Catholics were getting a lot of money from the Biden administration, and these cardinals are as woke as the day is long.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair comment and fair debate. Like I said before, I mean, I'm not personally Catholic, so it's not like I'm a member of the church and can necessarily comment on the inner workings of how everything works over there. But look, I totally get it. Like I said, is it productive for Trump given everything else that's in the news cycle right now? Probably not. I'd be more focused on the war, you know, things of that nature. But yeah, I don't think it's going to affect the vote.
You see, I don't either. And it's short-term memory. And there's so many things going on in this administration that by tomorrow people were like, what meme? I don't think they'll even remember. To that point, though, the war, we've got the blockade. This is clearly going to last for quite some time now. There's no end in sight. How do you see that playing with the electorate?
Look, the electorate, a lot of voters, whenever they go to the ballot box this November, are going to be voting based on their pocketbook or their wallet and saying, am I paying more for prices now than I was before? So if the answer to that is yes, particularly as it relates to gas prices and energy prices, Republicans have to adopt a message from this point moving forward of what exactly the rationale to go into Iran was and make sure you're communicating that effectively. Marco Rubio's done a great job at this, of putting this in simple terms in a 2-minute video every now and again and just laying out exactly what's happening and why it's happening. And I think if Republicans can follow his blueprint of communicating this to the voters, then that kind of negates that issue a little bit. Because at the same time, this isn't Iraq. We're not having an energy shortage or anything of that nature. It's just oil is priced globally. So whenever there's a shortage at any part of the world, prices go up. America, though, we are oil export. We're not going to run out. It's just a temporary inflation until this conflict is over.
Josh, real quick, a lot of listeners in Virginia, the Commonwealth there, we've been urging people to vote no on this referendum. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to remember is vote no, no matter what it says, because it's going to read the wrong way. What are you hearing from back home? You're from Virginia. What are you hearing? Mm-hmm.
Look, Republicans are riled up, and you can see that in the early voting numbers based on congressional districts. All the Republican congressional districts have higher turnout than the Democrat ones right now. Now, does that mean it's a surefire we're going to win? No. So people still have to get out and vote no on this language. And if people, you know, ask you questions about it, tell them to vote no, because the language on the ballot is very misleading. It would lead you to believe that this isn't what it really is, which is a shameless Democrat power grab by Abigail Spanberger. And Democrats in Richmond.
All right. Josh Jones on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Josh, I'm going to be texting you in a matter of moments the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, which
I will take a look and report back.
Wow. You know, Dylan, it's been a while since I've seen it. I always thought it was a lot. So this is a jumbo Wienermobile. This must be supersized.
It's quite literally a semi truck wiener. Like it's. And it has wheels. What can get better than that?
No, wait, I mean, right? Exactly. Well, and maybe some mustard on the side.
Yeah.
And some slaw. Sure. All right. Josh Jones, good hearing from you, my friend. Good seeing you.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Jones, great Republican strategist. Even though he doesn't know how do you not know what an Oscar Mayer Wiener? I don't understand that. I thought he's like our culture guy, too.
Does it go up north? Do we know this? I feel like it goes all around the world. I don't know.
You see, I wouldn't consider Josh to be a Yankee, though.
I guess, but he hangs out there.
He's from Virginia. Well, no, Washington, D.C. is technically.
It's mid.
Sorry, I'm distracted while I'm trying to send this poor kid. We're trying to educate the next generation.
You got to get a high-res photo. It can be seen driving down very fast on the interstate.
I didn't realize how crazy that thing looks.
It does. Yeah.
It's an, oh, by the way, it is halal, by the way. Oh, it's the all-beef Frankfurter Mobile.
Yeah, so you can go anywhere. So,
oh, you know what? This may be, I may have sent him the wrong one. I think there are two different ones. There could be one pork and one beef.
I guess.
So he sent me a laffy emoji.
Well, there you go. Now he knows.
The ha-ha. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I wonder if any of our listeners have actually seen or been through the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. That's, I mean, you know, that would be another great question. 901-260-5926. You know, we mentioned Patriot Mobile, ladies and gentlemen, in this segment of the Todd Stern Show, brought to you by our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They use all three major U.S. networks, so you don't have to worry about coverage anywhere in the country. Also, their customer service team is based right here in America, 100%. Everybody speaks English. I like that. And if you think it's a hassle to switch, it's not. With Patriot Mobile, you can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Again, Patriot Mobile, you can give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Todd, and you're going to get a free month of service. Or you can go online, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use promo code Todd and get yourself a free month of service. We'll be right back, everybody. You know, Dylan, we joke about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. I am on literally a nationwide search for the best hot dogs. And, of course, I'm a big chili dog and a huge slaw dog, which is a southern thing. And I've been searching high and low for the best hot dogs in America. And there's a great one, and I don't remember the name. I'm sure someone listening to us on WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, will remind me of the name. But they actually brought the hot dogs to the radio station as we did our show there during our book tour. And in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, they had a hot dog food truck that came by, owned by veterans. And, man, was that a great hot dog. I'm sure somebody will call in and give us the names of those two places. But let me tell you something, Dylan. There is nothing finer than a chili slaw dog.
I'm going to have to try that, Todd. It sounds pretty good. I'm a picky eater, but I'm open to it.
It'll clog an artery, but it's worth a stint.
There you go.
I'm just going to tell you. All right, let's go to Tom in Houston, Texas, Patriot Talk 920. Tom, I am intrigued. I understand that you have a Wienermobile story.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But they just put a alert out on Fox News, breaking news. Swalwell is opening up a sausage company.
Tom.
Anyways, we were at a farmer's market, and we had our dogs with us, one of which is a wiener dog. And they had the Wienermobile.
I like where this is going.
I was thrilled, and I asked they hire kids on summer break from college to do, I think they got like 8 or 10 of these that drive around the country. And could I possibly get behind the wheel and put my dog up on the steering wheel? Oh, no, sir. We can't let anybody into the Wienermobile. I said, but I have a wiener dog. Oh, no, can't do it. And I was so upset. But I did get to dress up in the wiener costume and hold my wiener dog up next to the Wienermobile with my dog in one hand and my wiener costume covering up all this beautiful, you know, Adonis of a body I have.
Well, I'm sure you're a handsome man there, Tom. But, wow, I mean, what a story. And thank you for sharing. Wow, those are rather intimate details.
You want the best hot dog, let me tell you.
Okay.
You come to this part of Texas, Central Texas, where all the Germans immigrated to.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you get you one of the homemade, butcher shops, whatever, sausages that are a link, not the Eckrich sausage, you know, that's 3.5 feet long and you got to cut it into the bun.
Yeah.
You want the link straight off of the grill.
Okay, I'm writing this down.
And when you take a bite, the casing pops.
Oh, those are the best.
And all that glorious flavored grease soaks up on your bun. And, oh, my goodness. And, of course, you must eat sausages with natural casing. Do you know what natural casing is?
I do, Tom. I don't want to upset anybody's lunch, and I do. Yes. I want to get to a couple of other calls here, so we're going to let you go, Tom. But thank you for that very graphic story that you shared with us. God bless you. Let's go to John in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. John, thank you for calling. I knew somebody would remember the name of this.
Yeah, it's a good friend of mine. I met you that day, too. His name is actually Eric Wilson. He's a veteran, and he runs Wilson's Weenies.
Wilson's Weenies. That was
actually it's Wilson's Weenie Wagon, I think.
Wilson's Weenie Wagon. This is good to know. You got to go with the alliteration. I mean, you got to work it. I love that.
It's that horse trailer. I thought that was just hilarious.
It's what now? What kind of a trailer?
He runs it out of an old horse trailer.
Oh, well, I had no idea, but it was a great hot dog, I'll tell you that much.
Yep, sure was.
Actually, it was two great hot dogs, but don't tell my cardiologist. But thank you, John, thank you for that. And please tell him that we said hello and certainly made a great impact and is on my top 10 list of hot dog joints in America.
Absolutely. I'll send him a message right now.
All right. John, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to WSIC. Dylan, this has been a very productive and yet somewhat weird and distasteful episode.
I agree.
Of the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Overall good, though.
Overall good, yeah. We're going to have every Methodist and Baptist church lady putting us, maybe even the Lutherans.
Yeah.
Even the Lutherans. All right, hour three of the big show coming up next. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Following some big news, breaking news, a fifth woman has now accused Eric Swalwell of sexual misconduct. We're going to be following that story, and of course, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage on my Newsmax show later tonight, so we'll be covering that story. Also, the blockade continuing to hold in the Middle East in the Strait of Hormuz. We'll be monitoring that situation as well. Before we go to our special guest, we've got to put a bow, Dylan, on our two-hour-long conversation on hot dogs.
It's like an hour-and-a-half conversation.
It's been going on for a while. Yeah. Let's go to Ely, Nevada. Lucky is on the line. Lucky, what say you about the hot dogs?
Well, I had a daycare center in Richmond, Virginia, and, you know, they have various hot dog ones going around, so they'd have it in different states. And in our state, they would come to Richmond once a month. I would take the kids. They'd line up. They'd be so excited to get pictures next to this hot dog driving around. But what I want to tell you is that when every kid left, one of the students that was doing the summer work, I guess, for the weenies, they would give them little weenie whistles. And let me tell you, I would regret having taken them, because at the end of the day, all day long, they were blowing these whistles off tune and different times. And it was a little hot dog in a bun, and you would blow the end of the hot dog, and it would make these whistles. And it was on a little keychain. And ever since you started this morning, I've been going through boxes trying to find this little whistle. I kept one for myself, and I wanted to take a picture of it and text it to you.
I love this. Do you have? Are you holding the hot dog whistle even as you and I are speaking here?
No, I haven't found the right box.
Oh, okay. I was going to have you blow the whistle right here on national radio.
Well, they were evidently different tunes in these whistles because the kids would drive me crazy from the time we left at 1 p.m. in the afternoon after having hot dogs with them.
They would have these little sit
around tables, and the kids, I'd throw blankets on the floor on the ground, and let them sit on the ground and eat these hot dogs, you know, and they thought they were the best hot dogs around, you know. So, and then I'd get back to our center at about 2:30, and from 2:30 to the time the parents picked them up at 5 o'clock or 5:30, all day long, whistle. Who could whistle the longest? Who
oh, geez, hello.
Whistle the loudest.
Yeah, I can see where that might get. It's kind of like the Mississippi State University with their cowbells. You know, you can tolerate it for a second or two, but after that, it's like, knock it off. All right.
Let me tell you, I come from New York City, and Coney Island, the best hot dog of the Hebrew hot dogs, the Coney Island hot dogs, Nathan's hot dogs. Yes, mustard, sauerkraut, the best.
It's a great hot dog, and I have actually had hot dogs at the Nathan's hot dog stand there, right there at Coney Island. It's if you're going to New York City, it's worth the subway ride out to Coney Island just to experience that little bit of history. Lucky, thank you for taking us down memory lane, and thank you for calling in and listening to us on the Nevada Talk Network there in Ely, Nevada. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our great guest, Dr. Susan Michael, president of the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem, USA, and the director of American Christian Leaders for Israel. Dr. Michael, I guess I should probably ask if you have a favorite hot dog joint, but I don't.
As long as they're kosher, okay?
Right, exactly. I love it. Dr. Michael, you never know what's going to happen on this radio. We're talking, you know, world affairs one day and the best hot dog joint in America the other hour. So there you go. Dr. Michael, one of the things we've been covering for the past couple of weeks on the program is the rise of anti-Semitism in America, and especially within the conservative movement, at least some sectors of the conservative movement. I know that you guys have been paying very, very close attention to this. And how concerned are you about what we're seeing out there?
Well, Todd, first of all, it's great to be with you again today, my friend, but I couldn't be more concerned over the growth of anti-Semitism in America in general, and particularly what we see happening in the right-wing camp of conservatism. I think that it's surpassed the 1930s in Germany level. It's become violent. We have had violent attacks here in the United States. We have, it's just unbelievable the levels that it has gone to. And, you know, we are very, very concerned that the Christian community here in the United States understand the dangers of this movement and understand the lies that it's built upon, so that they will not be swayed by it, and that they will be like a wall against it. And that's why we're working so busy to educate the Christians in America to understand this danger. Todd, the biggest problem that we have is the use of social media and the internet. So what used to be a fringe far right or far left movement that didn't really have that many followers and that much of influence through social media, they're able to find each other. They're able to influence people that don't know the history. They don't know what they don't know. And these movements are really growing mainly because of the use of social media. And I'm sorry to say that many of us, our Christian organizations, we're weak on social media. And that's where we really need to be focusing a lot more attention.
You know, a couple of years ago, I started noticing the trend, and we have a pretty massive social media platform, and I started noticing just on the fringes. And then I was telling some folks in Washington, some of the big religious liberty groups, hey, guys, we need to be paying attention to this. And I don't think anybody, you know, at that point did. I mean, you guys have been all over this story. But you're right. This is something that is incredibly concerning. And again, the podcasters and the influence of these podcasters like Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, all these folks, it's the young people they're influencing. And those are the numbers that really, really concern me, Dr. Michael, because clearly there is a shift in thinking when it comes to Israel within the younger generation of conservatives.
Yes, and you know what's happened with both Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens is just shocking. The almost like 180 degree turn, and moving into a very dangerous and dark mentality and belief in conspiracies and just disregarding history and facts on the ground. That is such a dangerous place to be in. And the only good news in this, Todd, is I do believe that they're exposing themselves more and more to be radical. And so a lot of more mainstream people are not going to be as influenced as maybe they were in the beginning, but now they're beginning to kind of back away from that. And the other problem that we have in this is the growth of bots on social media. So yeah. You've seen it. You all have posted something that was about Israel, and then you're just bombarded with all these messages. You don't even know that they're from real people. They're probably just bought fake accounts. But for a young person watching this, they think, oh, all these people are saying this. It must be true. And we're outnumbered and really outfunded. And we have to put a lot of prayer and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into fighting back against this.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Over the past couple of weeks, there's been some sort of a movement on social media, Starnes is a closet Jew. And I'm like, well, no, I'm a Baptist, Gentile, but, you know, it's okay. It's I don't have a problem with that, but still, the attacks are just insane. I'm so glad that you guys are finally doing something about it, because we've got to stand up. And I really do think this is just about education within predominantly, I think, our churches of America. What say you?
Yes, in our churches, but everywhere that we can find Christians. So we are working on university campuses to reach the young people. And, you know, there's a lot of Christian young people out there that they may be confused right now, but they want to know the truth. And that's really, that's the key in this. And so we want to get to them the information that they need so that they have a biblical worldview, a biblical stance on Israel and the Jewish people and against anti-Semitism. We're also working in churches. We are working on social media. We actually are working with young Christians working on Capitol Hill right now, doing a teaching series on Israel. And I'm so encouraged by working with these young Christians, because they really do want to know the truth. And can be easily taught. But we've got pastors to work with. We have, the job is huge, but we're out there working on every front that we can.
I'm just so encouraged to hear this. And I know so many of our listeners are encouraged as well, because they see it, Dr. Michael. And sometimes it's easy to, you know, get into that social media bubble. But there are like-minded people still out there, a lot of us, who want to stand alongside our Jewish friends. And, you know, one of the things I always encourage people to do is take a trip to the Holy Land. Take young people with you when you go to the Holy Land so they can experience. I mean, that's our heritage, you know, as people of faith. And I think that, you know, when they get to see it up close and personal, you know, and they can touch it and feel it, then I think it really does help change minds.
Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. And I'm a perfect example of that. I was 19 years old when I first had the privilege to go to Israel on a study program. I was a biblical studies major.
And it completely changed my life because the Bible came alive, but also the world came alive. It was just fascinating there being in Israel. Israel itself is so fascinating. So if I end up in a debate with someone today and they're spewing just nonsense, I'll just tell them, until you go to Israel and you see it for yourself, I don't even want to talk to you about it because you do not know what you're talking about. And we take young people, we take pastors, and we, you know, because it is totally life-changing for them.
Let's talk about action points here. We've got just about 90 seconds here. Where can people go? You mentioned resources that are available. How can people take action?
Yes, our main website is icejusa.org. And from there, they can find all of our educational resources. We have online courses at ICEJU. We have podcasts. We have blogs. We have articles. You name it. We have books. We publish books. They can find it all at icejusa.org.
All right. And we're going to post that information on our website as well, Dr. Michael, and we're going to get you back on, again, such an important topic. And also, next time I'm in Washington, I am taking you to Ben's Chili Bowl. They have kosher hot dogs, and you're gonna thank me for this, Dr. Michael. You're going to thank me for it.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Forget about the fancy steakhouses. All right. Dr. Michael, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for the great work y'all are doing there at the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem.
Thank you, Todd. It's great speaking with you today.
All right. Dr. Susan Michael, and just a wonderful, wonderful person. Had a chance to share a meal with her. The National Association of Christian Lawmakers. We were meeting at Liberty University and got a chance to visit with her, and we just had so much fun. And she's also a regular on our Newsmax TV show as well. Dylan, I'm telling you, Ben's Chili, I completely forgot about Ben's Chili Bowl. That goes on the top 10 list.
I'll add it to it.
Here's the one problem. They've got two locations. One is the original, which is like in a, I wouldn't say it's in a tough area of town, but it's, you know, you don't want to go there at nighttime. But the other one's in the airport. And I'm like, who in their right mind eats a Ben's chili dog? It's a half smoked chili dog before they get on board a jetliner.
It's an interesting business move right there, but hey.
Shocking. Shocking. Let's go to Joe in Ellijay, Georgia. Joe, what is on your mind?
Todd, you're on my mind. You're very well loved down here in Ellijay at Pooh's Barbecue and the whole North Georgia area, and we want to invite you. We would like to have a sometime in the future at your convenience. We'd love to have a Todd Starnes Day at the Pooh's Famous Barbecue to honor you for your great work for the American taxpayers and the conservative movement. I don't know anybody who's done as much to promote conservatism and Donald Trump than the great Todd Starnes. So at your convenience, if you could give us two or three dates, you know, any time in the next 6 months to a year, we'd love to honor you with a little reception at Pooh's Barbecue. We would have lunch, and then I'd introduce you, and you know, then you would talk, and we'd let everybody know about the great Todd Starnes and what you're doing, what you've been doing, and I just want to say thank you. So you can think about it, and you don't have to give me an answer now, but anyway, I'm 86 years old, and I plan to call your program 10 years from now when I'm 96. I work out every day. And I think I'm in real good shape. So I want to call the Todd Starnes Show not 10 years from now when I'm 96. Is that okay with you?
Joe, that is okay with me. That means I got to stay on the air for another 10 more years.
That's right. We thought okay. We need
I can do that. I can do that.
We need you.
Now, let me tell you something, Joe. You know, yes, I have a – you gave me a pig on the Pig Hill of Fame there at Pooh's Barbecue. So my name
That's
is on
correct.
That – But I got to tell you, you know, a lot of people would, they want to get that Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest U.S. civilian honor. For me, having my name on a pig on the Pig Hall of Fame at Pooh's Barbecue in Ellijay, Georgia, that was like the highlight right there.
Well, we want to honor you because you have been a great savior, great worker for the free enterprise system and a champion for Donald Trump and all good things. conservatives do. So it's your
thank you, Joe.
We'd love to honor you.
Joe, God bless you. They're yelling at me. We got to take a break, but God bless you, Joe. We'll be in touch. All right, I want to give a shout out to Tim McCarter, who is the minister at Cleveland Church of Christ in Cleveland, Mississippi, listening to us on 103.1 FM over in the Mississippi Delta. Beautiful area out there, about 100 miles south of Memphis. And our good buddy Larry Fuss owns the radio stations out there in those parts. And want to say hello to all of our great listeners in the Mississippi Delta. Let's go to Cleveland, Georgia. Oh, you know what? We're not going to go to Cleveland, Georgia. We're going to go to a break, but we're coming right back. Greg in Cleveland, you're on deck. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones. Greg in Cleveland, Georgia, listening to us this afternoon. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking the other day about the voting, and I've voted just about all my life. And, you know, you vote either Democrat or Republican or Independent, you know, but I think, or this is my opinion, voting mega. Make America God's again. Put it back in God's hand. Vote as he would have you to vote. And I'm not talking about all these other gods that are out there. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only God there is. And, you know, that's my opinion. I just think if you vote the Bible, he can't go wrong. And I know a lot of Republicans and, you know, politics and everything. Yes, everybody's got their own opinion, and I've got mine, and there's an old saying about opinions, everybody's got one, but, you know, mine's not always right, so I just figured that if you vote God's laws and what his principles, we can't go wrong, and, you know, I just want to know what you thought about voting mega, make America God's.
I like that idea, and I hope Christians in America are doing just that, that they're praying before they go and vote on election day, and that they're voting for the people, you know, who God would have them vote for. You know, it's interesting, going back to the early days of America, Greg, voting used to coincide with church services. So you would actually go to church, you would hear a sermon, and then you would go and cast your ballot. And I think that maybe had a way of, you know, pointing you in the right direction when you would go to the ballot box. I like your idea a whole lot, Greg. I sure do. Thank you for calling. 901-260-5926 is our number. I want to talk to you for just a moment. Got some news last night, and it's just been, I'm a little bummed out. Many of you know Bellevue Baptist Church, one of the largest churches in America. It was the pulpit once occupied by the great Adrian Rogers. I don't know if many of you remember Adrian Rogers, but really just Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley really influenced me, and Jerry Falwell Sr. Those three men especially influenced me. Their preaching and their teaching and their books really impacted my life as a high school kid and going into college. And when I was at Fox News Channel, someone said, you know, Starnes, you ought to do a story about the Bellevue Baptist Church singing Christmas tree. And I had known about the singing Christmas tree for many, many years. I mean, this coming Christmas will be the 50th anniversary of the Bellevue singing Christmas tree. And Dylan, I remember back when I was in grade school at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary, that one of the kids in my class was like in the tree, and she became like a star, you know, like a celebrity there at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School. And if you haven't seen the singing Christmas tree, It's massive. It's like, I don't know, three or four, maybe five stories tall. It's huge. And it's got like people, and they sing in the tree. And it's a huge stage production. It is the largest Christmas production in all of the Mid-South. Massive. And people, thousands of people go to this. It's so well done. It really is like a Broadway-style show without having to, you know, fork over $250 or whatever. So anyway, we did it, and Dylan, they actually got me up into that tree. I was a little nervous, to be honest with you.
It's a pretty tall tree to be up in.
I look like, I don't know, a giant, like, seal, you know, and a walrus. I kind of felt like a walrus, you know, sort of trying to get into the tree. It's very difficult.
But it's an honor to be in the tree.
It was an honor. I wasn't quite sure I was going to be able to get out. They had an emergency tub of butter just in case you had to lather me up.
Yes.
Splurt me right out.
Of course.
I think that's our new word, splurt.
That's a good word.
So anyway, I got to know Mark Blair, and he's the worship pastor at Bellevue, and just a great guy. One of the good guys, and just has such a heart for God. And such a heart for music and excellence in music. And he and his wife, Marty, she's just salt of the earth people. And we got to know each other, and they would come up to New York City, and we would visit and fellowship. And I think we've shared plenty of meals together, and we'd talk politics. We used to go over to Houston's and talk politics every now and again. And just a great guy. I think during most of that time, Mark was dealing with cancer. And it was tough. I'm telling you something. I've never met a man as tough as Mark Blair. This guy would be they would be flying down to Houston, MD Anderson, which I understand is an incredible medical facility. Those of you in Houston can testify to that. And then he'd be back Sunday leading people and singing praises to God. And with just a smile on his face. And he had to have been in pain. Anyway, got word yesterday that Mark was back in the hospital. They took him to the ER in a lot of pain. And, they're going home. They're going to hospice care. And the pastor of the church, Steve Gaines, just passed away a couple of weeks ago. He himself dealing with cancer. And it's been tough on that church. What a sweet people, though. Just, I know you think mega church, and you think maybe impersonal. It is kind of like a small church, but just the sweetest people at Bellevue Baptist Church. And I knew Steve Gaines for many, many years, and it was, man, it's just, you know, young guys, you know, they're in their 60s, early 60s, and dealing with cancer. Steve gone on to be with the Lord, and Mark is nearing that time. And he has fought. When you talk about fighting the good fight, this man has fought that fight. And he's done so with joy in his heart. And that just makes such an impression on me. So anyway, I want you to do a favor. If you don't mind, I want you to pray for Mark and his precious family, his kids and grandkids. Pray for the folks in the music ministry. And they have reached thousands of young people and have encouraged them and inspired them, many of them going on to other things. Dylan, you remember Alan Pillow, who is a part of our team. He now works for Ken Ham and the Ark Encounter. You know, Alan came up through that singing Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Lots of good people come out of that, too.
Yeah. That's awesome. Big time. So pray for the family. Pray for the young people there at Bellevue Baptist Church. And pray for the church and their great new pastor, Dr. Ben Mandrell, just a fine, fine person. And he's going to be shepherding, these precious people through another time of just difficulty. So, but we give glory to God, and it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to do, right? Because you don't want to mourn, but we do mourn because we do know that ultimately life is eternal for those who've trust in Jesus Christ, and that's what we do. But we've had Mark on the show a time or two. Every time a singing Christmas tree rolls around, and he's, you know what, he, and it's such a well done production, But he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to talk about the story. What is the message? What spiritual truths are they going to share with folks as they're flying angels overhead of you in the massive auditorium there? This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Elizabeth in Cleveland, Georgia. Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I just wanted to let you know where you can find the best hot dog. You talk about hot dogs. So it's in Cleveland, Georgia at Smith's Soda Shop.
Wait a second. I have been to Cleveland, Georgia many times. Of course, a great college there, a Truett McConnell University. So you're telling me it's called Smith's?
Smith's Soda Shop.
Soda Shop. All right. I did not know about this.
Well, it's even got the original counter from 1940 because it's been in business since then. And they served old-fashioned milkshakes. And these hot dogs are just wonderful. So I'm just, I'm thinking Cleveland, Georgia is number one for hot dogs.
I am writing this down. Do you take your hot dog any particular way? Do you like it with the mustard and the slaw and everything?
I like the mustard, the ketchup, and the slaw.
Oh, that's nice. Now, I'm looking. They've got a Facebook page. They're right there on North Main Street in Cleveland, Georgia, Smith's Soda Shop. It looks just like it's right out of the 1950s.
When you go in, it's amazing. I think anybody will enjoy it, especially their hot dogs.
Wow. All right. So they got the hot dogs and the chili dogs, and they've got the all sorts of great stuff. And they do.
Yes.
Hold on. Is this right, Elizabeth? You can still write a check as long as it's with a local bank.
There you go.
I love it. I wonder how much the hot dogs cost.
They're cheap.
Oh, they're cheap. Well, those are the best
kinds. Compared to other places, they're definitely, reasonable for sure.
Well, there's another place I cannot remember that. My brain is not functioning well today. There's a place I went to many times in Gainesville, Georgia, right off of the square. And they have they have great hot dogs there. And every time I'm in Cleveland, or rather in Gainesville, and I haven't been in a while, but I used to go by there all the time. I'm going to have to go by this place in Cleveland, Georgia, Smith's Soda Shop.
That's right, Todd. You need to come because they got the best.
Elizabeth, thank you for this. My cardiologist is going to be angry at me, Elizabeth, but he's going to have to get over it.
Well, you got to do what you got to do, right? So.
This is true. By the way, and you're not kidding, Elizabeth. According to the White County News, which is the official paper of record there in Cleveland, Georgia, this is the Reader's Choice Best Hot Dog in Cleveland,
there
Georgia.
You go. That's right.
All right.
So you got to come to Cleveland and a good hot dog.
Elizabeth, hold on. Don't go anywhere because we've got Mike from Cleveland, Georgia, who is calling in, and he is confirming what you just said. Mike, you are on the air with Elizabeth. So you're testifying to the goodness of this hot dog?
No, not the goodness of this hot dog. One of the sins against hot dog, Dairy Queen Incorporation, has taken the slaw out of their restaurants, and you can't get a slaw dog.
That's heresy. Are you?
It's terrible.
Oh, my word. My goodness. Well, I am just shocked by this. So Mike, what you need to do is go to Smith's Soda Shop and get yourself a good hot dog there.
I get a good hot dog every chance I get to find one.
Elizabeth, I do wonder if you guys have a gym there in Cleveland, Georgia.
We probably have two of those, Todd.
We might need them with as many hot dogs as you folks are eating up there. All right. Well, guys, thanks for calling in. And we've had a lot of calls from Cleveland, Georgia today. So it's a beautiful town, by the way. It's a great, and if you're up in Cleveland, if you're way up in the North Georgia Mountains, you got to drive on down to Helen, Georgia. And then you're going to find one of the most beautiful little towns tucked away right there along the riverbank. So Dylan, what have we done today?
We've learned a lot about hot dogs, Oscar Mayer wiener trucks.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot.
We have covered a lot of wiener ground. I'm just going to tell you.
I might have to like get back into hot dogs because I really have put them off for a while.
May I tell you, I do love a good grilled dog, but if you're going to do a grilled hot dog, you don't want the chili and the slaw in that. You want that's a whole different taste.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
But
I
mean, you never want to boil. You don't boil a hot dog and don't put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
You know what you do? You get yourself a pan, put a little butter in there, and what I like to do is like I slice the hot dogs, not all the way through.
Yeah.
And so that way, you know, you get the butter and all of that goodness.
Ooh, it's saturated in the butter.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty good.
Man, I'm in trouble. My cardiologist has already texted me.
You need to mention salad, vegetable, a couple of those on the side of the hot dog.
Well, yeah, you can put, onion. That's relish. A vegetable, right? Relish. Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah, cucumber and the little red things in there.
Yeah.
Jeez, Lou. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, Harry Hurley and Dr. Wendy Patrick joined me on my Newsmax show last night. Let's take a listen to that conversation. All right, Harry Hurley, where do you side on all of this?
God, you don't need me tonight. Your homily was spot on, the right tone, the whole presentation was perfect, and you hit all the points. My former boss, the President of the United States, is always the counterpuncher. And actually, and you did say it very, very well, normally he would counterpunch long before he did, but this was the Pope. And you don't want to pick any type of difficulty with the Pope. It's just not good business. It's just not good at any level. And but I will tell you, it's unprecedented, though, and I would encourage all the Todd Starnes viewers on Newsmax to double check me on this point. You won't find an example, except in medieval times, you won't find a modern example where a Pope has directly criticized the President of the United States like this. They will criticize policy, and they will do it in a very, very mild, subtle way, but generically, where people would say, hey, we know you're talking about, but you didn't say it. He came out and said it. He said the name. I think it was also bad form when the Pope said that he does not fear the Trump administration. The Trump administration really doesn't want anyone to fear it, except, say, maybe, you know, monsters like Iran. And let's not forget, blessed are the peacemakers. Absolutely true. And President Trump has ended, what, 7 wars? And this is one that he's trying to save countless lives by making sure that Iran will never be nuclear. So you're on point, and I wish you were wrong, Todd, but you're not.
All right. Verily, verily, Harry Hurley. And what saith thou, Wendy Patrick?
Truly, truly, I say to you, the Truth Social post probably was one of those things that the president maybe wishes he phrased a little differently. He does not want to get into it with the global religious leader, and he is a peacemaker. President Trump has constantly, as my colleague points out, touted his ability to keep us out of wars, to promote peace, peace around the world. I think these two men are talking past each other, as evidenced by Pope Leo saying, I don't want to get into a debate with him. Well, the president.
All right. If you want to listen to the entire back and forth with Harry and Wendy, head over to our YouTube channel and you'll be able to watch their video together. Folks, also want to remind you, we're about to ramp it up here, but I want you to head over to Amazon and pre-order a copy of my new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Congressman Jim Jordan, Senator Marsha Blackburn, and House Speaker Mike Johnson among those who have endorsed this book. And I want you to get a copy of it, and you can pre-order right now by going to Amazon. We're going to be doing a big book tour, all sorts of things later this summer. Book is coming out in May, but you can pre-order it right now. All right, been a lot of fun today, everybody. You get out there. You be good, America. We'll see you back here tomorrow, noon o'clock tonight on Newsmax. See ya.